Anything pool boys can do, pool girls can do better. Hey! This week on the Pool Nation podcast, we're spotlighting the pool girls in this industry. Along with Edgar, JJ, and Zach, welcome Lindsay, Janie, Jeanette, Leslie, Sarah, and Anna.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Pool Nation Live podcast with myself, your host, Edgar DeJesus. And yes, I am the reigning champion of Marco Polo, along with John JJ Flawless, the fastest knitter in the West, and Zach, the pool boy, Nicholas. And this week, instead of doing the pool geek talk, we're going to do the pool girl talk. We're talking to Lindsay from Oasis Pools, Jeanette from the Horn Family Pools, pool girl Anna from Seaside Pools, Leslie from the pool boys. But Leslie, this week, we're going to call you guys the pool girls. And Janie from JJ Flawless Pools and Sarah from The Ultimate Pool. I want to welcome everyone to our live podcast, a podcast where it's all pool talk and we ain't talking about netting and jetting or splashing and dashing. We're talking about becoming a nation of pool pros. And yes, we will talk about the latest products, trends, and training in the pool industry. But before we get started, I want to thank our sponsors for today, The Ultimate Pool Tools and Pool Invoice. We want to thank them for their continued support. Zach, good evening.
Good evening, everybody. I hope everyone's doing well tonight.
John, how are you doing?
I'm looking forward to having this episode because I've been talking to Janie about it for like the last week, and she's so super stoked. And I'm like, you know what? The one voice that we haven't really heard, you know, are the ladies out there. As far as like us and my business and having her on my team, and I just couldn't even imagine having anybody else and how well she does and how she impressed me. So I'm sure there's many stories out there that are, you know, there's a lot of unsung heroes out there. And I can't wait to hear from all the ladies and, you know, their successes and their struggles through the industry. And hopefully we can lift up their voices and we can get more of them in this industry because that's what we need. I think personally, we need a ladies' touch.
I agree. Lindsay, how are you doing?
I'm doing great tonight. Excited.
What part of the U.S. are you in?
I am in the Florida Panhandle.
In the Florida Panhandle. Okay. And then Jeanette, how are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you.
And Jeanette, you're out in Texas, right?
Yes.
What part of Texas are you?
East Texas.
East Texas. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anna, hello. How are you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. We're doing great. And what part of Florida are you in, Anna?
I'm in South Florida.
South Florida. And Leslie, welcome. The real pool boss, Zach, here. I know you're on here, but we know that Leslie's really the boss here. So Leslie, today we are not going to call you guys the pool boys. We're going to call you guys the pool girls. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. How are y'all doing?
We're doing great. We're doing great. Other than me kind of screwing up there at the beginning, but hey, we're doing good. Mama, perfect. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited to be on here with you guys and the other pool girls. I think this is pretty awesome.
We are super excited to have you on. And everybody that's listening, Mama Janie is the other half to JJ. We are excited to have you guys all on today and to actually go ahead and do some pool talk tonight.
Yeah, and I got to say, by the way, John, Edgar and I know that the one that really does all of the work and keeps your business going is Janie. So just to give you a heads up, we're on to your operation.
Right. That's the reason why I said that at the beginning. Right. That was the whole I knew that was coming. So I beat you to the punch there, Zach. So, like I said, I give Janie all the props because, yes, she is the one behind it all for sure. 100%.
I'll tell you this, Zach. Sometimes I'm talking to John and I ask him a question and there's a pause and I can see the phone going on mute. And the problem is he unmutes it, but then I can still hear her kind of explaining to him what it is that she's supposed to tell me. So we're on to you, John. We're on to you. We were supposed to have Sarah tonight, and Sarah is from the Ultimate Pool out in San Diego. And this was one of her vacation weeks, so we went ahead and told her, you know what, just go ahead and take the week off. We don't want to bother you during that time. But I want to tell you guys a quick story about Sarah because we will have her on the podcast at some point. We'll do some more with the Pool Girl Talks. But back when I started Pool Nation, and nobody was talking to me because I was the ugly kid on Instagram when we started.
Hey, Edgar.
Yeah.
Just to give you a heads up, between you, me, and Zach, you're still the ugly kid on Instagram. I just don't want you to think that things have changed and get your hopes up.
Yeah, maybe if you grew a beard, things could be different, but Until then, we'll never know.
I think I will be the ugly duckling because I can't grow a beard to save my life, guys. I've been trying to match both of you here for like the last 3 months, and I got three hairs right on the chin.
We're going to show the pictures of the stubble you sent to us. And we'll grow that beard.
Oh, man. What a tough crowd. So, guys, Sarah was one of the first ones that I connected with on Instagram. And if you remember the first Pool Man challenge that we did, and it was the one where we were throwing the tabs into the buckets, it was actually her idea. She was the one that did it, and she tagged us on it and created that. And then after it was all done, she did the challenge where she threw three of the tabs into three different buckets. And when she was done, she was like, and that's how you do it, boys. So I'll never forget that. From there, I connected with her dad, which is Ken Howard from the Ultimate Pole. But anyways, we will have her on. She's amazing. She kind of manages the entire site and service of the business and does repairs and all that kind of stuff. So Sarah, if you're out there, get a good week vacation and we'll have you on. So ladies, John and Zach are really excited to have you guys on this podcast. So let's dive in. We want to ask you guys some questions about the business. But first, I want to get the listeners to get to know each one of your stories. So before we get started, I want to ask each one of you about your story and how you got started in the pool industry. So Lindsay, maybe we could start with you. And how did you end up in the pool industry?
Well, it's actually a really weird story. I'll start with the fact that I barely have any history with pools before 2 years ago. Never owned one, rarely ever got into one. Originally from Ohio, Virginia. Now I'm in Florida. I actually took my CPO class in Virginia Beach, January 2018, before I even started cleaning pools. And we were up there. My husband's in the Navy, and they asked him to take another team out on deployment before shore duty. So I ended up coming to Florida because his friend and him had talked for years about running a pool business when he retired. But the friend had already started the business, needed some help, asked if I would. So I ended up moving to Florida while my husband deployed overseas. I come from retail management, so cleaning pools, learning the chemistry was quite different. But I had my own route after 3 months. For me, 2018 was a lot of just learning, understanding. I wasn't totally ready to be on my own. I was getting paid as a 1099, so I created my business name, the LLC, and started all the groundwork with getting my website, logo, social media, looked into QuickBooks, figured out what the background things were to running a business. And then I picked up my own pool in 2019, realized I still didn't know enough. I only knew the basics, wanted to learn more. So I started researching more. A lot of the things I found online were too basic. I already knew or over my head. I didn't understand. But January of this year, I only had four pools. And then I picked up my first commercial pool at the end of January, which was in part to my friend with Emerald Coast Pool Management that who I've worked for the last year and a half, helped me get that commercial. And then when COVID hit, it was scary, but more virtual training learning opportunities arose. And that's when I was able to learn more. I left our friend's business in August of this year, and I now have 22 pools. Six of them are commercial, a high occupancy rental, 15 residentials, but I don't complete any repairs. I'm still trying to learn everything I can about all the different systems, trying to be able to better maintain each pool, diagnose when issues arise.
Man, and, you are yeah. Big time on track.
That's awesome.
She's up to how many?
I feel
how many
like I need
have?
To do more.
How many do you have? You have how many residentials?
15.
15. And total of 22 pools already?
Yeah, 22 pools. Six of them are commercial. One of them is actually pretty big during the season. That's 5 days a week.
Oh, wow. That's a biggie.
That's bigger than me. I still don't have any commercials. I'm too afraid of them. I don't want them. So they're a big responsibility, you know, so kudos to you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, Jeanette.
I love the commercials. It's able to get in there more often and keep it up better.
So on the other commercials, how many times a week do you do those?
One of the other ones is three, and then the other four are 2 days a week.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that five time of the week has got to be a big one. I used to do a Marriott across the street from Disney, and that was 5 days a week, but that was the only way that we'd be able to keep it. So that commercial of yours is probably keeping you busy. That's awesome.
Yes, it helps me sustain.
That's great.
The great thing about it is for the first year, I don't have to get another job during the off season. I'm sustaining.
That's great. That's great. And then it's your husband, the one that wants to get into the pool business, right?
Yeah, it's funny because I never considered even owning a business of my own and definitely never considered a pool business. But it was his dream and I've been able to jump into it. I've fallen in love with the industry and essentially kind of took over. So when he retires March 2022, after 21 years in the Navy as EOD tech, then he'll actually join the business. And EOD is explosive ordnance disposal, mm-hmm. which is bombs. So it's a very different avenue for him.
You'll be exactly like John and Zach, where the ladies are the ones with all the knowledge and running the business. They just have to do all the work.
Right? There you go.
So, Jeanette, how are you? What about you? How did you get started?
Well, I married into it 24 years ago.
Did you guys start the business back then, or did your husband kind of already have the business?
Well, he had been in the business since he was in high school. He started out working at a little store. So he kind of dabbled in it since he was 16 years old. And then he kind of started picking up some pools on his own. And then when we got married, he kind of had a little route going. But he had also worked for distribution. So in one form or another, we've been in the industry for over 28 years.
Is he still on the distributor side?
He is, yes.
Okay, great. So how many pools do you guys have?
We have about 60. In 2010, he stepped away from the business. And so it's my son and I who we take care of the 60 pools.
It's you just kind of managing the whole shebang, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Now you do repairs. I see your Instagram page and I see you doing repairs. Do you do all kinds of repairs?
I do some repairs. I'm still learning some. So that's a new avenue for me. In last year, I got my license where I can work on the electrical, my appliance installer's license. So that's a whole new avenue for me. But yes, I'm learning to branch out.
That's great. Yeah. And guys, out here in Texas, what you need to do is out here, instead of a contractor's license, you get a Texas appliance installer's certification. And it's basic, almost like a contractor's license type thing to be able to do all the repairs. So, John, which one is the one in California that you only do repairs and installs? Is that the C-52?
The 61. It's
the 61?
Yeah.
So that's specialty, the equivalent.
It's a subcategory, yes, yeah, specialty, where you don't have to do the trade exam, but it's only a legal aspect of it.
Anna, how are you?
I'm doing good. So just quick about me, I'm a single mom with two kids. So running my own pool business, making my own schedule, you know, that sounds perfect for me. I got into the industry because of my parents. When they moved here in Florida 5 years ago, they started their own pool service business. And when I moved here after I got out of the Army with my kids, I just got tired of the shift work. I was an MP in the Army, and then I, you know, shortly moved into a civilian armed security position. And I realized I was missing out on so much of my life just working the shift work. It got to be so overwhelming. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take a break. And I started going out a couple of days with my mom, you know, just helping her out, hanging out with her. And I, you know, kind of like Leslie said, she just fell in love with the business. And that's exactly what happened with me. I loved working outside. I loved working with my customers. And most importantly, I loved how every day was a different challenge. So I opened my own business, started my own route last year in November. Right from jump, I went in and I bought my first 25 pools. And a year later, I am sitting at 60 pools. Nice. And it's just me.
Nice.
It's been an awesome, awesome journey this past year. And I'm honestly like so excited to see how much further I can grow And just the people that I've met just based off of like Instagram alone has been so awesome.
Yeah, that's great. And six from 25 to six, that's a great jump.
That's huge. Yeah, a lot of pools to take care of.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going out right now, Monday through Friday. And, you know, most importantly, I'm able to pick my kids up from school every day. I'm home every night. I have weekends off for the most part. You know, I love it. I love every aspect of all of it.
Yeah, definitely. That flexibility is a huge thing, especially when you have kids.
Yeah.
And so do you do repairs or do you just do service?
So I'm not licensed to do repairs. So right now I'm just learning I'm kind of just sitting in on repairs. I'm more of like a hands-on learner, so I can watch as many videos as I want on YouTube, you know, or whatever, but I need to physically see and understand, you know, how this works and touch the equipment and learn it. So I have hooked up with a couple of repair guys in my area that are willing to kind of show me the ropes. My parents, they do not do any of the repair side. So just kind of finding somebody that can teach me, I guess, has been kind of difficult. But, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to getting into that aspect of the business.
Yeah, and it's like I tell everybody, it's all repetitive. You know, when I started, I had zero experience doing repairs. And the nice thing is, and John, Zach, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but to me, it's always like there's only one way to change pump seals on a Pentair pump. There's only one way to, you know, hook up that heater. The gas is only one way. So the nice thing, especially for people that are hands-on, and I'm like that too, and I have to do it myself in order to be able to learn. I can't watch the videos and I can't all do all that. I'm more of having somebody behind me going, change this, change that, put this here, put that there. And that's kind of how I learn it.
Leslie, what about you? We've heard Zach's side of the story, but Edgar and I are dying to hear the truth about how the pool boys started.
Well, let's see. So they started in 2011, just Zach and Justin. And I joined the party in 2013. And I think the first task that he was ever, you know, trusting enough to allow me to do was to go through his list of customers and try to collect their email addresses, you know, just, I was like, look, I can do this. I can help you. And he was just constantly shuffling through papers and on the phone with warranty. And these guys, all they did was warranty work. They would drive, you know, from the north end of Houston down to Galveston and just all over the place in one day for these warranty calls. And they would call SEP at every single job to get pricing for all of their parts. They didn't have any sort of system. They didn't know their pricing. They would just slap a number on it. If they lost that piece of paper, that job was lost forever, you know? So it was kind of chaotic. I remember Zach getting a phone call, like an organic customer called our office phone and needed some work done. And he sat up for hours putting together an estimate, like as a Word document, you know, it is this big, huge deal. And so I guess fast forward a year or so, and he's starting to do more marketing and we're starting to get more organic customers and we start implementing service software and tracking these things. And Zach starts paying attention to his pricing and it really starts to take off. And he meets up with Robert, our web guy, who does a phenomenal job. And I mean, it's just the growth we've had over the past, I would say, 5 years is really crazy. You know, we would turn people away left and right for maintenance. That's probably the majority of the calls we got during the day were people asking, you know, for us to come clean their pools, for us to come maintain their pools. And we would just turn them away and refer them out to people. And I was like, this is crazy. You know, like we need to be taking these jobs. And Zach hates cleaning pools. He's very, very slow at it. So he didn't want to deal with
it.
He took on like maybe the first 20 pools or so. And we finally got a guy to come in and train that guy. And, you know, that was, I think, at the beginning of 2017. And now I think we're around 195 or 196 pools. So have 5 techs and a maintenance manager. And it's just, it's crazy how much we've grown.
That is awesome.
So, yeah, that's my
that
quick rundown.
Awesome. So what did it feel like to go, you know, you obviously have Zach doing 20 pools and then you start to make a jump. What does it feel to go from hiring one tech to adding the second tech to adding the third? Is it going by so fast that you all of a sudden you're like, wow, we're at 5? Or was that like a growing thing that you guys were able to kind of like really kind of enjoy that process?
I mean, there's moments of enjoyment and there's a lot of moments of stress. I mean, when you bring somebody on and you give them 40, 50 pulls a week, that's a huge stress. You know, what if that guy doesn't show up? What if that guy quits? What if that guy hates cleaning pools 2 months into it? You know, well, then you're scrambling to make up 40 or 50 pulls a week. So it's scary sometimes and it's hard, but I mean, it's, I love our team and I love all the guys that we have now and everybody meshes really well together, but growth is hard and it's stressful.
It really is, but it's a fun experience along the way. And I'm not saying this just because it's Zach, but you guys do a great job at looking at your business in every angle and trying to figure out processes and trying to figure out the problem. So you don't look at it as just we need to clean pools, but you're constantly looking at it from a business perspective that I think makes a lot of the guys out there think too. I think you guys have a great operation going.
I think a lot of time, you know, the growth and those changes comes from errors and mistakes. You know, like, oh, this isn't working. This is a big problem. We need to fix this. Let's move forward this way and try this out. And you just keep trying something until it sticks, basically.
John and I say the same thing. It's in this business, really the way that you're going to learn is exactly like you're saying. It's just kind of making those mistakes and kind of correcting them and moving forward. So, Janie, let's go ahead and hear the truth about JJ Flawless Pools, because Leslie was telling her story. But Zach and I know for sure there's no way that John came up with that awesome of a name. I know that for sure. There's no way. I know that he takes a lot of credit for it and the flawless, but I know that was you. So share your story with us. Tell us about your growth into JJ Flawless Pools.
Be nice, Mama.
Actually, John is 100% flawless himself. He came up with the name on his own. At first, it was going to be Flawless Pools, but he wanted to make it different. So, you know, there was no question if it was us or someone else in another state. So we added on the J&J. And actually, my story is really, really not that long since, you know, John kind of got things going on his own. So in the beginning, the plan was that, you know, I would run the back end of things and do the books and the billing, et cetera. But as soon as we were set up with the truck and equipment, I was like, dude, I want my own truck and tools too. You know, it's like, this That's is great. Awesome. And so just to give a little background about me and why that probably makes sense is I'm probably the girliest tomboy ever. Like as a kid, I would help my dad work on cars. He was a jeweler, so I would, you know, sit and repair jewelry and even make jewelry myself. So I've always liked doing things that boys could do and would always try and do it better. So I used to play a lot of pool. Well, I should say billiards, since it means pool means something completely different now. So when I was between like 10 and 13, my dad would take and enter me into tournaments a lot. And it was always awesome to see the looks on these guys' faces after a 12-year-old girl just completely kicked their butt. So they would just be like, you know, where did this girl come from? It was really funny. Let's see, I can hit a speed bag probably better than most guys probably can.
And John?
Oh, she beats me up all the time.
Yeah, that usually gets a lot of attention too when, you know, a girl walks up and can just hit the crap out of a bag. That's pretty awesome. See, I used to pull a 40-foot trailer every weekend for a few years, and I would definitely get lots of looks, you know, and I would just look back like, yeah, it's a girl, you know, pulling this bad boy, you know. So that was always fun. Let's see, I absolutely totally geek out on tools. I could go nuts buying tools and tool sets, pretty much anything tool related. I think even more than John.
You tell me, and it hurts the pocketbook too, because look, every tool I have, she has to have one. So even if we don't need two of them, we have to buy two of them, because if she doesn't have it in her truck, I'm in deep trouble.
You listening to that, Zach?
Yeah, I don't think many girls get excited about getting drills and wrenches as gifts. Like, for example, we went golfing yesterday with a couple of really good friends in the pool industry, Damien and Mike Bluff. And they were so awesome and brought John a gift for helping them out. And it was this badass Milwaukee Packout radio. And I was geeked all the way home and could not wait to check it out. I think I was more excited than he was on that too.
It's better than diamonds and gold.
And so you're a very lucky man, John. And so I'm assuming that that radio is now yours, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Just wanted to check.
Absolutely. I got all the pack outs in my truck and I steal everything.
Not only that, your truck is sweet. I've seen pictures of it.
I absolutely love my truck.
No, like
love my truck.
Guys, if you guys have not seen these guys' trucks, you definitely need to check out their Instagram page, because they're not only is the branding on it amazing, but these trucks are like, they're completely sick.
Oh, it's awesome. Well, you're in your truck all day, so it's my rolling office, you know, so of course it has to be like the coolest truck ever.
And better than John's, right?
It is better than John's, yes.
See, I got your number down. We're all good. Zach, this is all starting to completely make sense right now.
Right?
This is completely, completely making sense. So,
yeah, it's awesome. I'm always on Instagram and I'm forwarding tools that I see and that I want to John. You know, there's a new Wera tool and, you know, all these things. It's funny. And he's like, okay.
So John, are you kind of really excited about that? Or now you're at the point where it's like, man, she needs some like diamonds or she needs something. She gets to get all these tools thing.
Trust me, it's really a blessing to have two things. I mean, to be, you know, it's one thing that we love each other, you know, and it's another thing to have like your favorite hobbies or your interests to interlock and intertwine where there's no space between it. So it's like everything we do, we understand. And I mean, it's just, we're in lockstep with it. It's just a wonderful thing. I mean, she's my wife. She's my business partner. She's my best friend. You know,
she's the boss.
She's the boss. You know what I mean? All those things. So yeah, it's great. Talk a little bit about how you got into the business now, Janie.
Oh, okay. So yeah, back to the beginning. I was asking for my own truck and I kept saying, you know, when can I get my own truck and tools? And John was like, no way, you don't want to do this part. And I'm like, hell yeah, I do. You know, so after a while, I started helping out John on the weekends, reading all the books I could find, watching all the YouTube videos, and eventually started going to training at Pentair and Jandy, and of course, Mr. Bob Lari, and loved every minute of it, by the way. And of course, I was the only girl there and, you know, getting the funny looks, probably like, you know, what is she doing here? So at that point, we just kept getting busier and busier. I ended up riding with John every day. We would start first thing in the morning and end right before dark. It was just nuts, just trying to, you know, get through everything. So we were at a point where John really couldn't take on any more customers. He was thinking of hiring someone to help. And then something came up one day that John had to be available for. And I said, well, why don't we just, you know, split up for the day so you can have your time? You know, I'll take this many and make it happen. So it turns out that worked really well. And if you ask John, he'll say that was the best decision for the company that he's ever made. And we've had separate routes ever since. I do, I think, about 50 pools by myself. And
a little more. I'm giving you 5 more next week.
You just got a promotion.
And what's really awesome about, you know, us working together is if, you know, he's falling behind, he had something pop up and he has to go, you know, repair something that broke, I can jump in and pick up the pools that he can't finish that day. So it works out just awesome.
And
I
zero
love it.
Payroll. I love to pay her.
Beautiful. Yeah. John, it looks like you guys have the perfect setup there, man.
No, yeah, we're pretty happy.
We do.
We're very lucky.
That is great. That's great. All right, guys. So, you know, let's start getting into some nitty gritty here, because I want to start asking you guys some questions specifically about your business and the pros and the cons, especially in this industry that's really male dominated. What I want to do is really kind of start by asking maybe what's been the hardest part of your business, the hardest part of getting your business going. What has been that part? Before we do that, let's take a word from our sponsors, and then when we come back, we'll jump right back in.
The Hyper Pole from Ultimate Pool Tools is a pool care pole designed by pool professionals for pool professionals, featuring precision crafted carbon fiber and stainless steel construction. Go to ultimatepooltools.com or Instagram at Ultimate Pool Tools. Introducing Pool Invoice.
Pool Invoice is pool billing software that was created specifically for the pool service and repair industry. It was developed for our industry and only our industry. Pool Invoice was built with recurring billing in mind. You can print, email, text invoices, or even send via WhatsApp. You can add recurring or yearly charges, accept credits, and set up auto pay. You can even see when customers have seen the invoice. It even has a customer portal where they can log in and see, print, and pay invoices. It has all of your customers' information on one page, so you don't need to search through hundreds of invoices looking for the one you need. Just go to the customer's profile, and it's all at your fingertips. It's currently in beta phase, so anyone can use it for free. Just go to poolinvoice.com and request an invitation at the bottom of the page. Pool Invoice was made for you.
Okay, guys, welcome back. Today we're doing the pool talk with the pool girls, and I am going to let any of you guys take the floor.
For me, just a year out in business, I'm just now really starting to kind of rein in on this because I've realized, I've been a year in business, so I stepped back and I wanted to, kind of focus on what are my weaknesses, what are my strengths. And a lot of things that I was doing in the beginning was, like any good person, service tech is going to do, they're going to build a rapport with their customers. Well, I was finding out, you get the stories of your customers, that are struggling financially or, their mother just died. And I was kind of having like too big of a heart. So instead of charging my customers to, do little things like, hey, I need you to, add water to my pool while I'm out of town. And, I'd go on a Saturday. And instead of charging that person, I would not charge them. And I do it more as like out of just like, as a favor almost. And now looking back, I think about, my time is worth something for sure. And at the end of the day, I have to feed my family just as much as they need to feed theirs. And I definitely think that over the last year, just as a business owner, I've grown in that aspect, but I do sometimes still kind of find myself getting a little too, emotionally attached to my customers and kind of getting guilted into maybe like giving them a lower rate, just based on stories they've told me or their situations that they might be in, stuff like that. I don't know if anybody else, has ever been in situations like that. But this year coming up, that's something that I want to get better about doing is charging for everything, like charging for my time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's probably something common that happens. I went a little bit through the same thing. And especially when you get to people that are a little bit older, you kind of tend to do that. But you're at a great spot because it comes a time where you get the confidence, you kind of really start to understand your business a little bit better. That first year, there's so many things coming at you, the water chemistry and the algae and the repairs and the billing and all that kind of stuff. So you kind of tend to maybe not focus on that too much and you kind of do that, but you do kind of kick into that business sense. What about you, Jeanette or Lindsay? What about you guys?
For me, it's been the operation side of it, the finding the time after you go out and you work all day and then you come home and you have to do mom things, finding time to sit down and do the billing and make sure you have all of your ducks in a row, sending out the invoices. Things have gotten better over the years, but I struggled with that for a very long time. Just the time management, the operation side of it. Sitting down, not being distracted.
Yeah. And, you go out and you do, 60 pool, you come back home. It's hard to kind of keep going to that full gear of having to do all that. I think billing is one of those that I think catches most of the people by surprise, especially the first couple of years. So what about you, Lindsay?
Learning everything from scratch was the hardest thing for me. I remember my first week and trying to remember the chemical names, let alone what they even did. But of course, I was able to understand the basics of the chemicals, but I found it hard to understand the bigger picture and learning all the whys, because I'm just a why person. That's been my biggest struggle. I think I've gotten over that hurdle pretty good, but that first year was rough.
And I've seen you do a lot of learning this year. So I know that you've been watching a lot of the lives and the podcasts, and then you did the training with Bob Lowry on the water chemistry. So I see you making those strides on that side.
Absolutely. You can never stop learning.
Absolutely. So Leslie, what about you? Because your perspective is going to be a little bit different. The listeners are going to be, kind of going, hey, what about somebody from the operation side?
So I feel like for us, it was probably, or probably is, an ongoing and constantly changing as we try to implement new processes or procedures. But for an example, one that was like a theory or an idea that we just kept, you know, tossing out there for probably 2 to 3 years was, let's do a full equipment inspection for every service call. Every customer that calls us out there, we're going to do a full equipment inspection, and it's going to be $75. And we're going to give them a full write up for this inspection, and we're going to give them an estimate for every repair that we find, or every failure that we find. One of the main reasons I always thought that that was a really good idea is because somebody calls you out to their house because their pump is leaking, and you repair that pump, but you miss the leaking filter or the broken gauge or whatever, and they notice it 2 weeks later, they're going to associate you with that new failure and why wasn't that fixed the first time. So it goes into customer satisfaction. And two, I mean, if you find another O-ring or this needs a filter clean or whatever, you know, that's obviously going to raise the profitability of that job, of that trip out there. So it took us a long time for that to just become second nature or a given that that's going to be done every single visit. And now it is, and now we can move on to the next thing and focus on the next thing. But I mean, getting everybody to buy into these new things that you're trying to implement, it's always a struggle at first. You know, if you stick with it, it's obviously going to benefit the company, but it's definitely, you know, very repetitive, just kind of like with your kids. You have to constantly tell them over and over and over the same thing until they finally just start doing it.
So with that $75 equipment inspection that you guys did you guys start doing that recently, or did you do it kind of early on in the stage of building your company?
So that's kind of back to what Anna was saying. You know, we had that for a long time that we're going to collect this. It's not going to go towards the repairs. It's for our time. It's for our time for our licensed technician to go out and diagnose your equipment. You know, and a lot of people will give us pushback. Well, I feel like that should be credited towards the repair and stuff. So we would do that periodically, and we'd be kind of wishy-washy on it. And finally, you know, after however many years of us trying to implement that, it is not credited towards the repairs. It is charged on every service call. If you're on our maintenance route, you get free service calls. We never charge to go out and diagnose an issue. But if you're just an organic customer and we're going out to make a repair, give you an estimate, we will charge you that $75. And our confidence as a team has grown in implementing that, and we really don't get any pushback on it anymore at all.
What do you do if you do get a customer that's kind of giving you a little bit of a pushback on it? You guys just move on to the next customer?
I'm so out of it, that side of it. I rarely deal with customers anymore. That's Leah, uh-huh. And she's kind of like our enforcer, and she's amazing. So she doesn't really get a lot of pushback. I think sometimes, occasionally, somebody will be like, oh, well, there's another company that won't charge me a service call charge, but I'd rather go with y'all, and they'll end up going with us, or sometimes they won't. But it's not very common that we lose jobs due to the service call fee.
That's a great setup. John, do you guys do something like that?
Yeah, well, when we take over an account, there's always a charge. So we're there usually for a reason. And the reason is either the previous pool company wasn't doing what they needed to do, or it's a new account or a new home or a new startup. So we explain to the client when we're there that, hey, you know, in order to start your pool isn't ready for us to take over. And until it's ready for us to take over, we can't assume a monthly service. So we go through testing, equipment checks, we check for leaks, we check for everything, because Leslie, she nailed it. They're going to look at you when you're there trying to fix something, because if they called you out there for a pump or whatever, and then you end up taking the account for service and you miss those things, they're going to hold you responsible for it, you know? So we go through a checklist and say, hey, okay, guys, this is what we need. This is all the stuff that we need to do. Here's a priority of what needs to be done now, what can be, you know, put aside a week or two or whatever minimum. And then we do a new startup. So it depends on, you know, how bad the pool is. If it's a good looking pool, if it's not too often, we usually charge about $200 just to take over the account. And that includes us adding borates and going through all the tests and doing the initial clean and the vacuum and the brushing and all that. And then to do our inspection. So yeah, we do.
I want to add to that real quick, because I think this is really good stuff, is that it's all about the confidence. And, you know, you're going to get people that they're going to try. They're going to ask for a discount, and they're going to be a little bit pushy about that. But I feel like if you have that confidence because you know what you're doing, you know, your service is good and you stand your ground, in most cases, they're going to end up going with you.
No, Zach, you're on point with that. And it kind of falls back to what Anna said when she was talking about, you know, it's not just a girl thing. We've all been through that. especially when you're starting off new and you have new accounts and you're not quite as confident in your abilities at that moment, you know, you tend to want to bend over backwards to try to keep your client and keep them happy. And you question, oh, should I charge? Shouldn't I charge? Or no, I don't want to charge because I don't want them to say something or I don't want to lose the account. But once you get to that point where you start becoming really comfortable with what you're doing, you're comfortable as your business and you're just confident, then you can start demanding that and then, you know, expecting to be paid for your work. Because I fell in that same pitfall when I first started. Man, I was running around every single phone call back and forth, making 15 trips to a customer's home because, you know, I felt like, oh my God, like I wasn't worthy, you know, or, you know, I was lucky to have this account and I needed to do it. Not being arrogant now saying that, hey, you know, now I can, you know, no, there's no way I'm going to go out there. I'm going to charge you if you text me. But you need to be able to draw that line because, you know, people take, it's just human nature. They take kindness for weakness, right? And they prey on that and they see that. And they're no fools because if you do it once and you don't charge them, the next time you do it and you charge them, they're going to be like, hey, well, you didn't charge me last time. So it's real important that, you know, you lay down those foundations because in any other industry, and I think it kind of almost only falls in the pool industry, any other industry, if you called anybody out, you called a plumber out to your house to do some work, are you going to expect them to do it for free? You know what I mean? We wouldn't, you know, or if any other person that came out to do any kind of repairs. But for some reason, we think that the pool guy, you know, or the pool girl is like on call. It's like a retainer. They pay us $150 or $200 or $100, whatever it is a month. And that means that you're just on a retainer. So they're beck and call when they need something. So you got to clarify those things at the beginning. And that's my advice. And just say, hey guys, my time's worth it. And this is what I charge and be reasonable. And people understand it. So
do any of you, Anna, do you do any of those charges like that when you take over an account?
So that's something that I actually just recently started doing within the last, I want to say probably the last like eight new accounts that I've gotten. I've been really fortunate and been able to kind of pick John's brain a little bit on, you know, some of the things that he recommends doing. And, you know, like he just spoke about that confidence. And, you know, I know Edgar, you and I, a few months ago, we talked about that too. And that has changed my mindset and how I go into my estimates. And instead of looking, I'm at the point now where instead of looking at, hey, I need this customer, you know, to stay afloat, it's more so like, you know what? They called me. They need me. I have a service that I'm providing for them. They're obviously not happy with the service that they have been getting. So I have actually been starting to charge a startup fee. Basically just covers just an initial equipment check and getting their pool up to the standard at which I keep my pools at. And I've had really, really good luck with all of that so far. I haven't had anybody really bat an eyelash at, you know, that startup fee. And, you know, it's awesome for me because it's like, man, I should have been doing that from the beginning, but now I'm just looking forward to growing onto that, you know, moving forward.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, because I mean, sometimes you can go into a pool and you're dumping, you know, right from jump. You know, I was realizing like, man, right now I'm spending $30 just to start this pool. And if I'm only getting, we'll say $90 a month, you know, I'm cutting myself short right from jump. So I'm initially losing money. And that's obviously, you know, my time is worth something and I'm not working for free, you know.
We did talk a couple months ago and I remember that one of the things was you were still working on building that confidence. But boy, we hadn't talked in a while, but I could tell that there's a big change in the confidence there, Anna.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, having a really good circle of friends in the industry, even though they might not be here in Florida, you know, talking to JJ on the, you know, John on the phone and people like Greg Beard and Mike Bluff and Damien, you know, talking to those guys and having them to bounce off of and having them say, go for it, you know, go for that rate increase because you're worth it. Having that group of friends right there and having that support has seriously changed my mindset in this industry and my business like so much. And I'm seriously so, so appreciative for just having, you know, that outlet in my life now. And I wish I had met them all sooner, you know, because maybe I'd be a little bit further off, you know, in my business than where I'm at now. But like I said, I'm growing and I'm learning and every day is a new challenge and I'm super excited.
That's great. Now, what about you, Jeanette or Lindsay? Do you guys do any charges like that when you take over an account?
I have not done any initial charges, but now I'm thinking I need to start doing that.
You've got to do it now.
I don't really do that, but I will if it's a cartridge filter, that kind of thing. I require that those have to be cleaned before I'll take the pool on, and I, you know, everything has to be in working order. But I don't have a flat rate or anything where I just go in there and do a diagnostic. I walk in there and tell them what needs to be fixed before I can take it on.
So we talked about a little bit about some of the issues that are to the negative side, but what have been maybe a couple of the things from the good side that, you know, you thought maybe going in were going to be a little bit of a challenge and turned out to be a little bit easier?
I think for me, I thought I was going to be really overwhelmed with like balancing the business plus working plus, you know, things on the home front. I thought it was going to be extremely overwhelming trying to juggle everything. And I kind of get that little bit of mom guilt from time to time. Like, am I spending enough time, you know, with my kids or, you know, with my family? But surprisingly, just keeping like a really good schedule and staying on that schedule has been like a huge relief for me, actually, because if anything, I'm more organized now, which is definitely a huge relief.
Janie?
Yeah. I'm here. I'm not quite sure when to jump in, but
you guys just jump in and just keep going.
Okay. For me, it was definitely chemistry. Like, I used to be so afraid of using acid. I just hating having to carry it, add it. I was worried I'd add too much or spill it. So I learned, you know, real quick that LSI is your best friend. And there's so many apps that you have that just make that so much easier.
Yeah, that's a good point. That LSI calculator, especially for somebody new, I think it really just tells you, hey, here's your safe zone, here's your corrosive, here's your buildup side. And it just really is able to give you a safety net, right? When you leave, you feel like you're, okay, my pool's in balance, I'm safe, I know I'm not doing any damage. It allows you to sleep a little bit better at night.
Absolutely. And then, like, I've been blessed because I have John. So I had him in my ear for like the first month, the entire day. So he was helping me through everything. And I'm going like, how much do I add here? And this is what's going on here. So I know not everyone is that lucky. So, you know, I could have him come and, you know, save me at any moment. Like, for instance, 100% honest, I called him one day, I was at a pool. And I'm brushing the spa and I'm calling him going, there's dirt on the bottom of the spa that just will not come off. And he's like, what? You know, so he comes over, he looks at the spa and he's like, oh, that's scale. And I'm like, what? You know, so I'm freaking out thinking that I just ruined this customer's pool. Thank God they were out of town at the time. And, you know, he's like, don't worry, you know, it could be fixed. And we basically acid washed the spa in about 30 minutes.
Just
and
I was just like, don't the spa into
oh
the
my
pool.
God.
Fix it up real
so
quick.
From that point on, I was like, I am LSI, you know, every pool, and I'm never leaving, you know, unless I am sure that it is on point. So my pools are basically perfect now.
Nice.
Oh, she was freaking out.
Well, I think anybody would, especially in those first pools.
Oh my gosh, she was freaking out. So yeah.
And he's like, don't worry, we'll get it. I got it. Don't worry. And I'm just like, oh my God, it's terrible. But the spa looks perfect now. So,
and no scaling now, right?
Nope. Never. Never again.
So what would you guys say are some of the challenges that you face in your business even now? So like Anna, you talked about, you know, you've kind of come a long way, but maybe now in the position that you're in, and Jeanette and Lindsay as well, what are your guys' current challenges that you see as you're trying to continue to run that business?
For me, it's not offering the repair service. I'm always having to rely on another company to come in and do the repairs.
Yeah, that can always be a big one at the beginning. Do you have somebody specifically that you work with, or do you guys have a couple, two or three different people?
Personally, don't know anyone. Uh-huh. I know of one company, they don't do the service, the maintenance that I do. So I kind of rely on them the most. But I always give the customers like three different company names that I've heard of and I've come across at the distributors that I would trust enough.
John, what would you recommend for a situation like that to kind of try to create something?
Yeah, I'm thinking back and I'm going, that is the toughest part. And then the toughest part about it is like, well, one, knowing somebody, and then two, trusting them to come out there. The biggest downfall we had, and still to this day, is I can't find a builder to save my life in this valley, right? And it's, we have tons of clients, and you know, it's a struggle that we still go through today, where it's hard to get people to show up to appointments. You know, you set up an appointment and you go, hey, you know, can you come out? Yeah, I need my pool remodeled or something like that. And we don't offer that service. We don't do it. But, you know, we tried recommending and bringing other people in. And it was just tough. And I'm still trying to figure it out myself. You know, it's, you know, but as far as, you know, finding somebody you can trust is, you know, it starts at like the distributor and maybe speak with the branch manager is where I'd kind of go if you talk to him or her and then get, they have the ear and they know pretty much everything, at least they do out here where we're at, and they'll be able to guide you in the right direction of somebody who's a good person that you can trust, that if they're going to be doing repairs for you, they're not going to try to poach your account, or they're not going to be a hack job and destroy the pool or the equipment or whatever they're doing. And then kind of feel them out, you know, as far as you know, information from them, and talk to them and just be honest. I would also, when you talk to them, is just say, hey, look, I'm not looking for anything in return. I'm just looking for somebody I can count on and depend on that I can trust, you know, to bring into my client's backyard. That's not going to, you know, try to work against me. And if you take that approach, I think if you find a reputable company or somebody or a reputable guy or gal, I think they're going to be open to it. You know, they'll be there to help you. But start with your branch manager and then get the ear, because they pretty much know everybody. Of, you know, who shops there and who's good and who's not and who knows what they're doing, who doesn't know what they're doing and who to stay away from. So I would go there.
Yeah, that's a good point. A great point from the start with the distributors and try to find somebody. I did the same thing. I basically not know how to do the repairs and kind of went through a couple guys until I found the right guy that I started to work with. And then I was lucky that I paired up with a guy that did warranty stuff for Hayward, and I would ride with him and he was, you know, able to teach me. But that's a great point, John. So Anna, what about you? What do you think are some of the challenges that you face going into the next part, the next phase of your business?
Honestly, I think it's still just gaining that confidence. You know, right now I'm trying to push for the higher rates. I am at the beginning of the year moving into my first rate increase. So I'm kind of, you know, a little nervous and hesitant on that, but I'm going to move forward and stay confident with it and know that I'm providing, you know, a service, you know, with quality. So I think that confrontation, I haven't really had it yet with any one of my customers. I think I'm a little kind of timid about that, and I don't necessarily know how I'm going to handle that. I know it's obviously bound to happen at some point. You know, I don't want a customer to kind of intimidate me, you know, sucker me into just kind of settling on a lower rate because I'm afraid to lose that customer. So just moving forward with the confidence, I think, is going to be my biggest challenge.
It goes back to, and I think John does a great job where they do every other year. It's almost like you have to train your clients as well and get them used to certain things. So once you start to get those rate letters, you're actually going to be surprised by how little pushback you're going to get. I remember doing my first batch and being completely afraid, and not one person balked at it at all.
That's awesome.
It just really builds, you know, from there. What about you, Lindsay?
I'm the one who answered first.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There you go again.
I can jump in. I would say for me, it would be speaking to customers, like going out for quotes and stuff like that, because John is just so good at it that I just can't even imagine just, you know, pulling off the things that he does. And then I get nervous if, you know, the customer has questions about equipment or repairs, because I absolutely hate not to know the answer. It kind of feels like I lose credibility because I'm a woman. So if I don't know the answer to something, they're just going to immediately, like, you know, look to the guy, because obviously this woman doesn't know what she's doing, which is probably not what they're thinking, but that's kind of how that feels to me. So I get really nervous and usually let John do the talking for now. He keeps trying to, you know, tell me that I can do it, but I'm like, no. You're just too good at it.
For now.
Yeah. We just had the same thing today. We're sitting there, right? And we're on vacation-ish this week. Uh-huh. Right? And one of our customers were texting Janie, because every time we go, and Janie, she gets new accounts too, so don't listen to her. She does a great job. You know, and she's picked up quite a few, especially recently. And then as she picks up those accounts and builds those relationships with those customers, I tend to say, okay, look, this is your, these are your babies, right? These are your clients. So when they call or when they text, they have your number, you know what I mean? And when they need help or whatever, I help her with answers and stuff to do, but she knows them. 99 out of 100 times when she goes, what do I say? And then I say, and goes, she's like, oh, that's what I was said to, or I knew the answer. But she's just, it's that lack of confidence that she just needs to get. And, you know, I was just telling her today the same thing too. I go, no, you text, you call. I don't want to call because I don't want to say anything. I don't want to say anything stupid, or I don't want to sound like I don't know what I'm talking about. You know, it's like, no, you just got to do it. You got to do it. And she did it. She got on the phone. She did great. And it went smoothly. You know, we forget that, especially when it comes down to pools, you know, even if you're just starting an industry as a guy, as a gal, you probably know tenfold more than what the customer knows when it comes down to that pool. Right. And you can, it's not so much saying BS your way, but you can say things and you can answer questions without answering them, you know, or it's okay to say, oh, you know what, let me figure that out. Let me look into that and then I'll get back to you. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's not saying, oh, I don't know the answer to that, but there's ways to approach and go, oh, let me look into that. Or there's a couple different scenarios that can happen, or a couple different things that can cause that. Let me see, or I'll look into it a little deeper and I'll get right back to you. You know, just certain ways you approach things. So, you know, we're all human. We're all learning. I'm learning every single day, you know.
Yeah. Like recently I was cleaning a pool and the customer, you know, pokes his head over the fence and is like, hi, you know, you mind coming over? I have a question about my equipment. And I'm just like, oh, my God, like, please don't ask me something that I have no idea about. So I'm like, OK, sure. And I go over there and, you know, we're checking everything out. And I was super proud of myself because I absolutely nailed it.
Nice.
Every question, knew what I was talking about, and you know, I just channeled my inner John, you know, and just you know, pretended that I've been doing this for, you know, 20 years, and they're like, oh well, thank you so much. And I'm just, you know, using all the, you know, Bob Lowry terms and explaining the salt cell and the salt molecules and breaking it and making chlorine, and you know, I'm just like just loving that I know all this stuff.
She was on cloud nine when she came home. It was like awesome.
Oh my God. I left just feeling like a total boss. Ended up selling them a new salt system, you know.
Nice.
Pool tile. And I felt like $1 million. So I was just like, nailed it.
Nice. John, I think she needs a raise right there. That's what I'm talking about.
I need a raise. She has all the money.
I remember my favorite was I didn't have that support system, and I remember totally screwing them up and getting in the truck and just looking at myself in the mirror and going, well, screwed that one up. I won't say that again. Come on, John. Tell me it hasn't happened to you, right? At the beginning, and you're trying to, and you think that you're going to nail it, and you open your mouth, and the customer looks at you like, dude, you're a freaking idiot.
Look, I think it was Lindsay who said that she has a experience in or a retail background. I have a retail background too, big box retail, where I manage a lot of people. We talked about that before. So as far as sales, you know, I can sound like I know what I'm talking about when I really don't know what the hell I'm talking about. You know what I mean? Sometimes, especially when I started out, and there was so many times when I walked back and I'm just like you, Edgar, said, I sound like a friggin' fool. You know what I mean? What am I doing? I'm way over my head when I first started. Oh my God. Oh my God. And sure as hell. We got a call later, even like, I think on one of them, I was like, oh my God, I don't even know what the hell I was doing. There's no way I'm gonna do it. I'm an embarrassment. And then I get a call back and said, oh, we'd love to have you. You're so much better. Or, you know, we feel so much more confident with you. And, you know, it's just kind of like it falls down to, again, to confidence. And it falls down to, you know, you are the professional. Trust me, even if you're just starting out, you know a lot more than what the customers know. You know, and if you go into the backyard understanding that, feeling that, you have a hunger to constantly learning it better, it's only going to take a few. And eventually you're just going to get more and more and more and more confident, because the question, you start to see all the issues you have at the pad, they all tend to be only a few things, right? And then how to repair them, like you were saying, Edgar, too, there's only one way to do one thing. And eventually all these things just become common knowledge. And then as you do more pools and as you see more things, you know, these things are, it's just a different environment or a different scene, you know, but it's still a body of water. You still got pumps, you still got plumbing, you got electrical, and all the things never really change. You know, so once you get comfortable, it starts to become natural. But we struggled at the beginning, too. So,
yeah. And it's while you get that knowledge. My favorite part, guys, was really kind of doing the sales part of it because I had no experience. I had to kind of figure out. And I'm the type of person that likes to kind of have a game plan going in. Okay, this is what I'm going to talk about. And this is what I'm going to say. And this is my angle. And then at this point, I'm going to throw in my sales pitch and my rate.
And it never happens that way.
You know, but, and you would screw, I would screw some up and I would get, you know, I would get to the point where I was like, man, I'm going to get aggressive on the rate. And so I would do certain things or say certain things and be a little bit too aggressive on the rate. And then they would kind of come back with something and I didn't have the answer to it. But it's one of those where you go in and you're like, it's a 50-50 chance anyway, when you walk in, if you're going to get it or not. So why not try to perfect your skill with each customer and try to, like Anna, pushing that rate and getting that higher dollar. And I know that Lindsay, you shared a great story about, you know, getting some extra rates, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. I want you to share that story. But Leslie, I want to know for you guys, for the pool girls, not the pool boys, for the pool girls, where you guys are at in your business, and maybe what are some of the challenges that you kind of see that you're dealing with and you're trying to overcome?
Growing well, if that makes sense. Being smart with our growth, making sure the growth that we're projecting is warranted. Hiring people, you know, is a monumental task in and of itself. But once you have those people, you have to cultivate them. You have to train them well and to do everything correctly. And they have to be exposed to the right environment. Otherwise, you've essentially ruined them as an employee. So, I mean, and then once you do get the right person and they're trained correctly, how do you keep them? You know, we have to have a path for success within our company. You know, we're trying to develop, okay, so you'll be a maintenance technician for so long at this pay rate, and then you can move up to be a senior technician. And now we have a maintenance manager. And then what's the path to become a service technician? And where do you go from there? So that's everything we're trying to create from scratch and implement all at the same time. So it's a work in progress, but I think we're finally starting to get on the right track with it.
So what are some of the things that you think we lack as an industry?
I just think industry-wide standards. You know, it seems like everybody has their own way of doing everything. And I don't know that that's necessarily wrong, but there's no standard for customers to hold anybody to. That's my opinion.
Oh, for sure. We need schooling, training, and having somewhere to go, you know, like the HVAC guys do.
Yeah, and I know I've heard a couple of y'all talk about riding around with guys from other companies or guys that are doing warranty work to get training. We try to send our service techs to manufacturer training yearly. I mean, we have it this year, obviously, with COVID, but I know Pentair and Hayward and Jandy all offer manufacturer training on their equipment. That would be a good place to start.
Yeah, that's a great point. What about you, Lindsay or Anna or Jeanette? What do you guys think that as an industry, is there anything that you see that we lack?
I have the same thing when I was thinking about it. I would just like to see basically the same concept, just like a better standard at which we as an industry hold ourselves to. You know, I don't want to be just like, oh, that's just the pool girl, you know, like, and, you know, I hear, you know, oh, that's like the weird, crusty pool guy that smells like beer, you know, like I hear stories like that all the time. And I'm like, you know, as an industry, you know, I want to have that, you know, like that JJ Flawless mentality where you're driving around and you're taking pride in your truck and your equipment. And I'd like to see everybody grow and be excited about what they're doing and excited about learning and, you know, just take pride in what we're doing.
Exactly.
Next question. So have you guys faced a customer that gave you the third eye because you're a female?
I actually had a customer tell me point blank that I must be, his exact words were, I must be really stupid because I'm working way too hard for being as pretty as I am, that I should not be cleaning pools for a living.
Just what?
Yeah, wow. needless to say, I could not have wrapped my ripcord cord up any faster and gotten out of his backyard because I was so insulted. And I was like, you know what? I am not the service tech for you. Have a good day, sir.
Wow.
Yeah. I had a neighbor come out one time at a home that I do and ask me if I was sure I knew what I was doing.
Yeah, sure you know what you're doing?
A woman? He literally said, a woman? And I'm like, yes. He goes, a woman cleaning pools? I just wanted to punch the guy in the face.
Yeah. I get a lot of times, like when I go out on my estimates, they kind of are, they're kind of like nicely asking me if I'm the one that actually is doing the work or if it's my company, you know, and they're shocked when I tell them, yes, it's just me. I'm a single pole company. I will be the one in your backyard performing the service. I do it all. And they kind of all just are like, okay, like, good for you. Yeah. I'm like, yep, it's just me. I do it all.
That's crazy. What about you, Jeanette? Do you kind of get that same thing or?
Not when it comes to the service side. I've never had a problem. But when it comes to being in the backyard to actually perform a repair, sometimes they question whether or not I can actually do it. I have some of the old timers, they refuse to call me for repairs. They'll still call my husband and he has to redirect them back to me and tell them this is hers. She runs the show. She's going to schedule it. She's going to fix it.
That's awesome.
Or she's going to tell me I need to go fix it.
So. I'll get sometimes when we, not current customers, but we go for quotes and John's speaking to them and they just don't even make eye contact with me. It's like I'm not even there. Like I'm just one of the helpers that's just, you know, waiting for my instruction.
Oh my God. Do you tend to see, because obviously it's a male dominated industry, but at the pool stores, it could be a little bit rough. So do you guys see more pool guys give you the third eye or customers give you the third eye?
Oh, pool guys.
Definitely. Yeah, pool guys for sure.
Pool guys?
Oh, totally. I get weird looks, double takes. I've had them just look at me and like have their mouth open like, what? You know? I get stared at a lot at like SCP, you know, when I'm like loading up my truck. And the manager's always yelling, don't let her load her stuff. And I'm like, dude, I got it. I can lift my own chlorine and acid. You know, I'm a big girl. But I would have to say that, you know, what bugs me the most about other pool guys is, you know, I'll usually wave, you know, when you're passing by someone, you know, you put your hand out the window, they, you know, they'll say hi. And it just irks me so much when they don't wave back. They just look at you. And I'm like, what the hell, man? You know, well, I'm not good enough for a hi? Like, whatever, bro. I would love to, but my name and phone number is on the side of the truck. So you have to be careful what you do.
I'll tell you this. At the beginning, I used to wave a lot. And I remember waving once to another guy and he actually flipped me off. So I'm like, OK, I guess I better stop saying hi to people. So I'll never forget that, man. I will never forget that. I like he was on the other side. I waved and he like full blown flipped me off and look at me right in the face. And I'm like,
wow.
Okay, well, I guess I better not wave to other pool guys.
All right. So nice. Let me ask about how we deal with the, how should I put it? The weird guys. And how often do you deal with those weird guys out there?
I hear them all starting to laugh. I know they got some stories that they're going to share.
Right.
I've been stopped in a liquor store with the guy saying, I'll let you clean my pool in a bikini. You know, I'm like, God. Dude, go away. Or showing up to pools and having like a painter there or like a repair guy and them pretending to ask questions about pools, you know, when they're not interested and, you know, asking for your business card. I had one guy the other day when I handed him my card, and he was like, oh, cute and the owner, you know, cute and clever. Just like, oh my God, dude.
Yeah. That was smooth.
For me personally, I always just try to keep it, you know, like if I'm at the supply house, you know, you can never really be too sure, like, you know, what other pool guys, you know, intentions are. You know, a lot of them in the beginning, they're like, oh, anytime you need a repair, if you want to come out on the route with me, you know, everybody wanted to be my best friend. And I kind of had to be a little bit, you know, standoffish because as a female,
I didn't want to give off that wrong vibe. Like, oh, just because I'm being friendly doesn't mean I'm flirting with you. I'm just being nice. So I kind of actually had to, I have to kind of be a little bit more standoffish so I don't give off that, you know, perception of that, hey, I am actually looking for your attention. You know, I'm always, you know, I always wear long sleeve shirts, you know, because I don't want to give off that wrong vibe. But, you know, it's the same thing. You walk into a gas station and, you know, you've got guys gawking at you because, you know, we are rare, you know. I know early mornings, you know, everybody that's at my gas stations here, they're all guys going out to work. So to see a woman, they're like, what? You know, it's weird. So you got, you know, 50 people looking at you. And it kind of, you know, it's a little bit uncomfortable. But I've learned to just ignore it. That's the best thing. I used to take it really personal and kind of get offended, you know, especially like, you know, guys that are very blunt and straightforward that will like send me a message through like Instagram or social media. I used to get really, you know, kind of distraught about it because it's like, do you just not have respect for people? Honestly, for me, I just learned to like block them and tune it out and just move on with my day. Always just remain professional.
So what tips would you guys have for other females that are thinking of getting into the business?
I'd say do it. 100%. We need more women. And they can
do
call
it right.
And they can call us anytime.
And how would be doing
it
right?
I would say, if there's a license required, get your license. If there's, get your insurances, form a company. Just don't just go out there, go buy the stuff. Like, just do it right. Do it legally. Have all of your bases covered. Get your education. There's classes and stuff online, in person all the time.
I would say get to know your vendors. There's a lot of information that they can provide to you based on, you know, whether it's the equipment that you're going to be working on or dealing with or the chemical options that are available to you. And I would also suggest finding a good service software. There's hundreds out there. It may take you all to sort through them all, but you could definitely find one that will help your billing and your routing and your customer communications and reminders and estimates and, I mean, products, pricing, cost, everything.
The SBA, they even have classes, tax classes that you can go to that are free of charge to help.
Yeah, the SBA was just invaluable to Zach.
Yes. Yep.
That is great. I did not know that. Definitely a resource that we're going to have to look into, guys.
Yeah, free business coaching.
Definitely.
What's that, Zach?
They give free business coaching.
What do you remember what it entailed?
Yeah, so like when we started out, I got with the SBA and they assigned me like an advisor, coach or whatever. And I would just meet on some sort of frequency. Maybe it was monthly. As time went on, it started getting spread out more, but they just kind of act as a bouncing board and help you work through some things. And it's just good to build those relationships because ultimately the SBA that I went to, you know, it was 7 years later, of going on and off that they actually referred me to the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Program, which I'm an alumni of now. And that's actually kind of what pushed us to the next level. So your SBA is, I mean, like Leslie said, they're priceless and they can help in many different ways.
And it's free.
Those are great. I didn't know about that, Zach. We'll have to do a little bit of research into that one.
I didn't know about that one either. So I got something else to go for.
Yeah.
For sure.
Lindsay, you and I are going to have to jump into that one and do some homework.
Yes.
So ladies, what do you think we could do as Pool Nation to help pool girls out in the industry? What can we do more?
I say keep doing what you're doing because it's awesome.
Yeah, just continue with the support.
I love listening to you guys. My favorite thing is being able to hear three different point of views. You know, because I always love to hear how other people do things, because there's always something to learn. And, you know, to hear something and be like, oh, my God, why didn't I think of that? That is great. You know, and just I just think that that's awesome. And I don't think any other podcast out there is like you guys. It's just great.
What about you other ladies?
Well, I agree. Like that was literally my answer.
You're doing it. that's my answer.
you're giving us a voice. You're letting people know that we're out there. You're helping other pool girls know that there are other pool girls out there, and that we are a resource for each other.
I think we need a lot more women in the industry because I think women, and you've expressed it and you've shown examples of it, you know, on this podcast, that you ladies are classy, right? And you bring that level of service, and you step up the game, you know, for us. You know, Janie, the same thing too. I mean, she is like on top of it. She's better than I am, you know, in a lot of ways. And the more we have that type of individual in the pool industry, the sooner we can elevate ourselves past, you know, we can climb up that totem pole. Because right now, you know, and it's the truth, and people can say whatever they want, but this is how I see it, and at least is how it is out here. The majority of the pool people, it's the fight between the gardener and the pool guy and at the bottom. Yeah. And it's who's the cream of the crap. You know what I mean? I don't want to cuss, but it irritates the crap out of me, right? And it's like, why can't we are so much more than how some people perceive us. And the only way we can change that is when we start changing the way we perceive ourselves. And the way we show ourselves and the way we handle ourselves in the industry or when we're out in the backyards. And women do that much better than men do. And that is no question whatsoever, you know, when they're in the backyard and, you know, and they're what and whatever they do. You know what I mean? They're more organized. They're, you know, like I said, they're just on top of their game. And I think the more we have in the industry, we're going to be able to elevate ourselves as a whole. And I know it starts with us guys, and I know we make it difficult sometimes. We're not very inclusive as an industry, because being a guy that came into the, it was so tough. It was the most frustrating thing. And Janie knows about it. I was like a leper every time I went to ask somebody for help, right? Or every time I went to talk to somebody, everybody's guarded and they don't want to help you, and you're going to steal their business, and you know, you don't know what you're talking about, or who's this crazy guy? And, you know, and trust me, I get it. And just even trying to imagine the struggles that you guys have when coming into industry, not only did you go through what I went through, but you also went through other certain unique challenges that I wasn't able to experience, but I can see it. You know what I mean? I can understand it. And I'm just saying, I really think we need to do better as an industry. And I think it starts with our manufacturers too. You know, Janie and I was talking about this. We need more reps that are women. We need more, when we're doing trainings, we need women that are doing, you know, we just need to have more women injected into the industry that are qualified and that do a great job. And I think it'll help bring and recruit more women into the field. You know, that's just my two cents.
For sure, it'll be less of a boys'
club. That's what I was just.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that if there are any women out there, you don't just have to clean pools or do repairs or do bookkeeping or payroll. There's manufacturers, there's sales, there's distribution, mm-hmm. there's training. There's so many other opportunities in this industry. It's huge. That's it.
So I'm off my soapbox. I'm done.
We've been fortunate that we have a voice and that we put it out there. And that nowadays we're not the ugly ducklings anymore. And people will actually, you know, pick up the phone. Those are the things that I think we look for as Pool Nation, to be able to kind of close that gap and be able to go to some of these people and go, these are our audience. These are the people that listen to us. And this is what they're saying. And this is what you need to do. You know, but I don't know if there is a lack of, obviously John is telling me yes, but do you girls agree?
So. I agree. Yeah, I kind of like the idea of having women only training classes. I know from time to time when I've gone to different training classes, I may take a little longer to process what they're saying. And if it's a hands-on class and I'm trying to make sure I understand, and sometimes they're the men who may be standing next to me, they think I'm taking too long. So they'll jump in and they'll do it for me. Well, that's not what I did. You just stole my learning opportunity.
Yeah. And so, you know, fantastic idea.
And I know in California, there are some that manufacturers that have started doing that. There's a, you know, I'd be interested to see if we can get it like nationwide. Where they
that would be awesome
to have women only.
Yeah, those are great points. And guys, John and Zach, this is where obviously, you know, we're fortunate that we're able to make, you know, some contacts and talk to people, and this is where we could try to, you know, bridge that gap.
No, for sure. I mean, that women only training, or you know, I think is brilliant. You know, it'll help foster an environment where, you know, you feel kind of comfortable. You know, you break down those barriers and you don't have to worry about it. And, you know, because part of the great part of learning is networking and talking. And you put yourself in a position where you now you see other 15, 20 other women that are struggling the way you're struggling, trying to learn what you're trying to learn, and you're able to build contacts and create hotlines and where you guys can talk on the phone and do those types of things. And, you know, if there's, you know, there might be limited amount of women in the industry, and it might be a little bit more difficult to get a bigger group, but, mm-hmm. you know, the manufacturer should pay for, you know, submit applications or do something and get qualified people that are truly interested and pay for them to fly out to an area so they can do training, you know what I mean? Or whatever, you know, and do that, because it's only going to help build the business or help, you know, grow the industry. So sorry to cut you off, Zach.
No, I think you said it perfectly. It's a great point. And I think there, you know, Edgar, like you were mentioning, it's not a bad idea to start maybe trying to talk to some of these manufacturer representatives and see if they've ever thought about putting something together like that. I think that would be huge.
Yeah, and I do see a lot of pool girls, you know, in the industry and doing the work. Really, I think our goal is to, you know, figure out how we can help them and give them, you know, our hand to be able to get those companies to do that. And not just them guys, Zach and John. I think we need to do something as well. And whether, you know, obviously we're always kind of talking, you know, the pool guy talk, but today was a perfect example. Every single one of the ladies that I asked to be on the podcast, every single one of them said yes.
Right.
And that was very empowering to me. Because I really thought that I was going to have to convince some of you ladies to be on. And every single one of you, very first thing was like, yep, yep, yep. And I'll even say, Leslie, Zach and I thought that we were going to have to convince you a little bit more to be on the podcast. And we were joking about it too. Because it was like, yep, she's on.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'll see what I can do. And no. I was like, I'll see. I don't know. And I ask, and she's just like, yeah. Okay, cool.
Zach, same thing happened to me. I'm like, Janie, I'll have to try to convince her, or, you know, I'll tell her how we really need her to, you know what I mean? And she's like, what are you talking about? Of course I'm going to be on the podcast. And I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah.
It just blew my mind. But see,
I messaged Edgar immediately and said, he's tripping. Hell yeah, I'm in.
It was every single one of you. To us, we can be a voice, but I think you guys tonight are doing kind of exactly what we do, but you're doing it for the women in our industry. And so I think it's important for them, for the other ones that are out there, to continue to kind of listen to that message and say, hey, yeah, there is this, you know, this group of people, like Leslie was saying and Mama were saying, that really you're a group of people that have all different angles. So, you know, you're talking to, you know, Leslie, and Leslie's in a different standpoint and looking at it from the business standpoint. And, you know, maybe there is somebody else that's in those shoes, listens to Leslie and says, yeah, or there's somebody, it could be any of you, you know, Lindsay, Anna, Jeanette, you know, in your spot that they're running their own business, but that they're going to be able to listen to your voice and then be able to kind of reach out. So, guys, we really need to figure out what it is that we could do as Pool Nation to create that and foster that. I think there's a group, and they might be out of Florida, Anna. I don't know if you know them, but I think it's Pool Girl Training.
They're in California. Yeah.
They're in California. And so what have you guys heard about them?
They have a Facebook group, Pool Girl Training, and they have got manufacturers that have come and they've done classes. They just had Hossa and Pentair do a class, and it was just probably 8 or 9 women in the class. And they did it last year too, I do believe. Their group, it's open for anyone. If there's if you have a way to help, or if you just want help, and you can go in there and follow along when they offer the trainings online.
That's awesome. Oh,
yeah, I'll have to reach out to them. What was that, John?
No, I was just going to say, I know we asked if there's anything we can do, and, you know, it's kind of putting everybody on the spot. They might not want to say anything, but, you know, after we get off the podcast or down the road, when you think of stuff, please shoot it over to us and let us know, hey guys, maybe try this or give us some suggestions, because we're still looking, as hard as we want to try to look mm-hmm. at it in a different perspective or through a different lens, it's impossible, because we're not a woman, and, you know, and the last thing anybody wants is to try to, oh, this is what I think a woman wants. So the only way right. we get that feedback and understanding of how we can better our industry is from you guys. So, you know, our emails or Instagram handles, or, you know, email Edgar, or send a message with suggestions of things that we can do better, or things, small things we can incorporate into, you know, our podcast or our lives and the things that we do, so that we can help in this venture. Because this isn't just a This isn't BS. This is the truth. What I'm saying about women in the industry, I truly believe the more we have, the better we're going to be, you know, and it's just going to, it'll help get rid of some of the riffraff that we have, you know, and it'll help just elevate us. So whatever suggestions, please send our way.
We're obviously always talking from the pool guys' perspective, but you know, guys, maybe we do need to look at it, and maybe in, you know, whether it's a podcast or whatever, we need to, you know, bring a woman's perspective into it. You know, really, whatever we could do to help. But I think there's already a couple things, Zach and John, that we could do. And
I know Leslie's gonna tell me to stop taking credit for all of her ideas, so that's where I'm gonna start.
Of course, we all sit here. Come on, Zach. We know Leslie runs the company. Right, Leslie?
Sometimes.
Come on, say it, Leslie. Say, I am the boss.
No way.
You know what Zach is? You know what Zach is, John? Zach's really the pretty face, the beard, the, you know, the image of the pool boy. Of course, Zach, you can make fun of me. I can't grow a beard, so I would never be able to be you. But
his beard is so crazy.
That thing's everywhere, right? I'm jealous because mine's not quite as long or as glorious as this, but soon it will be.
Just let it go.
Right? Just let it go, right?
So yeah, I can't grow a beard to save my life, guys. So I did, guys, we started working on the picture today, and I've got each one of the guys on one to the left and one to the right. And of course they have these big beards. And then here I am in the middle with, you know, no hair whatsoever, you know? So it's like, I'm going to have to at least get a fake beard, guys, and make that our picture.
That would be funny.
So any questions, lady, any things, the topics that you guys want to talk about before we end the podcast?
I have a question for ladies. Any tips on man hands? Anybody else have man hands?
That's a good point. Oh my God. I think I might be the perfect one to answer this question.
I still have man hands from 8 years ago when I was in the Navy, and they are still terrible. So I have no advice for you. Just embrace it.
Oh, I'm showing John when I come home, I'm like, look at my hands. He's like, look at mine, I got the same ones. I'm like, yeah, but this isn't right. I'm supposed to have, you know, nice soft hands, and I just haven't figured out, you know,
lotion, just lots of lotion.
Oh yeah, I got lotion, I got the O'Keefe's, you know, working hands. I try and wear gloves, and I end up tossing them after the first couple pulls because they're getting in the way. I can't touch my phone, or they're wet, and it's like I just can't seem to come up with something that works.
Embrace it, girl. That's it. Yeah.
Wow, I'm feeling a little girly over here.
You have computer hands like me.
Oh, I do. My daughter was probably like, I don't know, maybe like 4 years old, something like that. And I used to rub her back to put her to sleep. And so she always used to come and say, Daddy, Daddy, rub my back so you could put me to sleep. And so I start doing pulls and my hands start getting all dry and all that kind of stuff. And I come one day and I'm rubbing her back and she's like, Daddy, not with the nails, not with the nails. And it was actually my dry hands. And so
Zach's hands are prettier than mine.
So
I believe it.
They are. I'm not even joking.
So I felt so bad that I went to Harbor Freight and I found that they had the rubber bead blasting gloves that go up to your elbows. And I'm going to have to post some pictures so you guys can make fun of me, because I think I'm the only pool guy that ever wear those rubber gloves up to the elbows in, you know, 100 degree weather outside. But ever since then, my hands were just these pretty hands. And anytime that I had to do any repairs, I was wearing gloves. And yeah, Mama, I agree. It gets hard at the beginning. But then once you get used to it, all my guys used to make fun of me, and then they all ended up wearing gloves. So I have pictures with all of us at pools, just like all with these black rubber gloves up to the elbows.
Oh, that's funny.
But Zach, we'll have to compare hands.
See, he knows.
He's quiet back there. He's not jumping oil. In. He's just kind of quiet, like, uh-oh.
It's the beard oil.
What is it, Zach?
It's the beard oil.
The beard oil.
Oh, man.
I'll have to take a picture of after he puts beard oil in and fluffs it. Oh. It's the worst.
You have to get him the beard straightener. Have you seen those?
Yes.
He has one. I got him one.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Oh my God, Zach!
I'm just you've become
the punching bag here. Yeah. You got the beard with the grease, and now the pretty hands.
Yep.
So that just kind of goes back to the same thing. Leslie, say it. I am the boss, and he is the pretty face behind the company.
He is.
Ladies,
I got to stop him.
Yeah, no. He's going to make us pay, John.
Oh, yeah.
So now I'm kind of
keeping quiet because I don't want anybody jumping on me.
Yeah, I am noticing that you're pretty quiet back there, John.
Yeah. I'm just like, okay. I'm waiting for Janie to say something. I'm like, shh.
Janie, por favor, drop something on John.
So go throw something at him.
Give me and Zach some ammo.
Oh, no. Nope, we're on the same team over here.
Oh, wow. Did you hear that, Zach?
Yeah.
Wow. No, you should see. She's looking at me right now, and she has the evil eye right now. I'm looking at her like. Cool.
Anything nice. Else?
Funny. I have a tip if anyone hasn't already figured this out. For me, for pump lids, I used to always, slam, what is that, the bottom of my hands, trying to open them sometimes. So I keep a large rock next to all my pumps so I can open and close the pump lid. Not sure if anybody needs that tip, but man, it helps me.
It's only you. It's so only much. You, Janie, because he
channel walks.
When I'm there, I tighten them really tight just for her so she can't get them off. So that's why nobody else has that problem but you, Janie.
Really? It's just me.
It's me. I'm sitting here going, tighten
now.
No, and I absolutely hate having to make unnecessary trips to my truck. So if I can't get that lid off, I'm pissed because I'm walking out to my car to get something to open that damn lid. So I keep
walking. I ask you something? Do any of you guys have, so like if you have your Riptide or your Hammerhead, whatever it is, do all of you guys have that or does somebody not have a cart?
I have a cart.
Yep, I got a cart.
Yep, I just got one.
And so are they all like Riptides?
Mine, yes.
Yep, mine too. Team Riptide.
Mine is.
Yours is.
I think most of ours are Hammerheads.
All the Hammerheads.
I think we have like two Riptides.
Yeah, we're converting.
You like the Riptide better?
Yeah, I really do. Just even the way it mounts to the hitch and everything. Yeah.
Does anybody else have the swing hitch?
No, I want it though.
It's a lifesaver. I'm just saying.
I mean, just for me, what sold me with Riptide, just their like customer service. I was having an issue last week with mine, and I was in like full on meltdown mode. Like anything that could have gone wrong that day went wrong. And I called Matt from Riptide, and literally within 5 minutes, he was helping me figure out what was wrong with it. And not only that, he was like, feel free to stop into the shop, switch out your bag. Because I had purchased a bunch of bags when I originally got my Riptide. He's like, we've changed our bags around, so feel free to come in and we'll switch them out for you. And anytime I ever have an issue with it, like they're just so on point and like right there willing to help out. And it's just, they're phenomenal.
John, do you have a Riptide?
Yeah, we have two Riptides and a Power Vac. Janie has a Power Vac and a Riptide on the back of her truck. And I just have a Power Vac. They're the, like, you've never heard of them before?
Those are the older ones, right? The white ones?
Yeah, they're old. They've been around for a long time, but they still make them and they still make new ones. But it's a little different. It's fiberglass, but it has four like little wheels, caliper wheels that swivel around. So
great ab workout. Yeah. Oh, as it travels to the deep end.
Right?
That's why I hate it.
Trying to vacuum a pool with it? Forget about it, right?
You're fighting it the whole time.
You know, you have to have like laser vision. And it's great for spas and it's easy for steps. Mm-hmm. It's a little easier for Janie to move around.
Yeah.
Or for like the infinity edge pools, it gets right down in the basin and you can go side to side. And it's perfect for that.
Nice. Yeah, I used to have a Hammerhead, but I also had a Dula cart that I had customized with a reel for the regular vacs. I just used to have both in the back of the truck. But the reason I was asking Mama is because what I had done with mine is I had a rubber mallet on the back of mine for the lids on the back of the cart. So I kind of had all the little things. So I didn't have to go back out to the truck.
Yeah, that's what I use. I just keep a rubber mallet in my little cart. Knowing me, I'd probably like smash my finger or something if I used a rock. Oh, I did that once. Yeah. Yeah. Well, our pools, most of them have cleaners, so I don't have to take in the vac unless, you know, we usually clean it up after winds. So I have to go back if I don't have my cart with me.
Jeanette, where you're at, is it all Polaris or do you have suction side?
Most of it's Polaris. We have a couple that are suction, but not very many.
The vast majority are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because this market, guys, is all Polaris. So I come from California. It was all suction side, not one. At 250 pools, not one Polaris. And then you come over here and it's the opposite. Everybody's got the Polaris.
I think we're seeing more and more robotics down here.
I'm noticing an uptick on that here as well.
Yeah, definitely getting a push of robotics now.
That's all we sell. We haven't sold the Polaris and I don't know how long.
We're selling some Quattros now, though. I do like the Quattro as the one.
The Quattros are sick.
It's like a robotic, though.
Yeah.
I had a guy close to me here that he was doing his filter and stuff like that, and it Polaris broke, and he bought one of those Quattro. That thing was sweet. That thing kept that thing crystal clear, man.
Yeah, they're really good.
But he paid like $1,500 for it.
Yeah, it's as much as a robotic, but it's just kind of one of those good options to have for the people that don't want to take a cleaner in and out of their pool every time they use it.
Or if you have a booster pump that's still good.
Yeah, especially out here, because everybody still has all those booster pumps. It's just interesting, the mentality. Obviously, in California, nobody wants to run an extra motor. They want to save money. They don't want two motors running. And then you kind of come out to Texas, and everybody's like, no, we want that second motor going.
Yeah, it's all
3 horsepower.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, it's all, you know, it's all area specific. I mean, where we're at, we have all cartridge filters, right? But you travel an hour away or 45 minutes away, and everywhere else in California, you got nothing but DEs, right? DEs are more predominant. But here, nothing but cartridges where we're at. It's funny. It's just how things change. And it's just, and it really comes down to the builder, whoever built those pools. You know what I mean? And kind of how it started. And I'm sure Texas, because you guys have all those leaves and, you know, a lot of heavy debris, a suction side cleaner wouldn't do anything, right? It would be completely, it would be
perfectly
in some of those pools, you know, where you need a pressure side cleaner. So, but yeah, it's, you know, we're kind of in our own little world sometimes because we think the pool industry is a certain way because that's what we're experiencing. But, you know, your neighbors and someone else, you know, they're going through a whole different type of clientele and a whole different type of pool and the way they do their chemistry and stuff like that. So it's fun to hear it from everybody. That's one of the things I love is hearing from everybody from Florida to Texas to Louisiana to New York, you know what I mean, and different parts of California and Arizona. So everybody has something different to say. And, you know, you always got something to learn. You get little tips and tricks.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
All right, everyone. Well, I want to thank everybody for coming on and joining us and doing the pool girl talk. And even here at the end, you know, kind of talking the pool talk and enjoying it. Any ideas that you guys come up with, please share them with me, John, or Zach. And we're going to make it a mission to, you know, be inclusive and, you know, to change the way that we do things and the way that the industry does things. And we know that we're not going to be able to change the entire industry, but we're going to definitely make a push to have everybody be heard. Everybody, thanks for your time. Zach, John, as usual, I hope you guys all have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
And,
Thanksgiving.
And then we'll be in touch. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night.
Thanks for listening to the Pool Nation podcast. You can listen to us live every Friday here at 8 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can find us at Pool Nation or poolnationpodcast.com or Instagram at pool.nation.